hallelujah. What a presence in the house, hallelujah. We honor you, God, hallelujah. We honor you, Creator. We honor you, Redeemer. We praise you, Son of God, hallelujah. 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 Reach out to him, would you? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ooh, I have seen the Lord ministering to folks in this service, and I believe he's going to continue to do that. I'm telling you, you don't have to leave here without the help and healing and the hope that you need. Amen. You can leave here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He is here. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. May he be honored through his word. If you turn in Mark chapter 7, the Jesus response. You can just remain seated this morning. I'm going to read two verses from this story, and then I'll read more as we proceed. Verse 32, Mark 7, 32. And they bring unto Jesus one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched Jesus. They begged him to put his hand upon the deaf man. And Jesus took the deaf man aside from the multitude, listen, and put his fingers into his ears. Remember last week I was talking about Jesus did some things that we might be uncomfortable with if you came for prayer and I stuck my fingers in your ears. He put his fingers into his ears, and then you'd be more uncomfortable if I did this next thing, and he spit. I've spat on folks as I preached, but it was unintentional. They were just in the spray zone. He put his fingers into his ears and he spit. And then it seems to get a bit stranger. He touched his tongue. And you for sure would be uncomfortable with that. Mark is the only gospel writer that shares the story, and I think he did it for a purpose. The last thing I would ever want to do is misrepresent Scripture, but I think the purpose could be stated this way. Jesus puts his finger on it. Jesus puts his finger on it. You see, we have an expression, an English idiom and metaphor. When there's something wrong that we can't identify, we can't discover, we can't figure out, we have this expression, I can't put my finger on it. Now, in a positive converse of that, when the problem is discovered, when the need is identified, we have the converse of that. They put their finger on it. Might be a marriage counselor. And they go in for counseling. And they leave saying the marriage counselor put his finger on our problem. Put his finger on our need. I want to preach this morning, Jesus puts his finger on it. And I want you to know, if we'll allow him, Jesus will put his finger on what's really wrong with our lives. Some folk don't like that about preaching and being in the house of God, because that's what happens. He's a Savior that puts his finger on our need. You know, sometimes we even have a problem with ourselves. We're not even able to put our own finger on our own problem. Have you ever been there? You were troubled. You were upset. You were messed up. You were discouraged. You were depressed. You were confused. And you really weren't able to put your finger on your own problem. But I want you to know something. Jesus can put his finger on your need. And, oh, I'm glad I can preach this, because his is not only a finger that points to what is wrong. His is a finger that changes what is wrong. Before you think I'm too far gone here, I want you to consider this morning. The finger of the carpenter is the finger of God. I said the finger of the carpenter is the finger of God. And to give us some biblical context, do you remember Moses when he went in before Pharaoh and he began to work these miracles? He threw down his rod, it became a snake, and you know, he produced lice and this and that. If you'll read the story, there was, on several of those beginning miracles, the magicians, by sleight of hand and illusion, they duplicated Moses' miracles. But then Moses, by the power of God, worked one miracle, and the charlatans, the magicians of Egypt, Brother Wilson, they tried to duplicate that miracle, and they couldn't, because it was real and they didn't have real power. Do you remember what those magicians said of Moses and his miracle? Here's what they said in Exodus 8. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." I said, the finger of the carpenter is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. Amen. Jesus of himself declares it. In Luke chapter 11, he said, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you." In Scripture, the finger of God is his power. And it's his power specifically to work a miracle, to make a change, to bring deliverance, to bring salvation. I said the finger of the carpenter is the very finger of God. And not only does he with that finger pinpoint what is wrong, he pinpoints his power to address what is wrong. Amen. In the human lore and folk stories, we have this thing that magicians and God is able to zap with this finger, and you'll see caricatures of that, of a finger with lightning coming out of it. That's just an attempt to get a hold of this concept that's been in the human memory since Creator God formed this world. But the finger of God, it's his power. He's able to pinpoint, out of all the folks that are gathered here this morning, he's able to pinpoint your need. He's able to put his finger on your heart. But it goes beyond just his putting his finger on it. He's able to focus all of his power, all of his mercy, all of his grace. Oh, hallelujah. He's able to pinpoint that and meet that need. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just let him do it this morning? Would you just make bare your heart and say, "Go ahead, Savior. Put your finger on my need. Show me my need and touch me with that carpenter's finger." In looking at the Jesus response, we began by looking at the human need. Look at verse 31. Jesus, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, came to the Sea of Galilee, to the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Now listen, there's no doubt to be deaf and unable to speak is among humanity's greatest handicaps. And Brother Brian can attest to that. He works with the deaf. But I want to take you to a time before they had the sign language that we have developed for modern times. And if you were deaf and dumb, and that's a word they try to avoid now, but that's the way they have characterized it for so many years, mute, unable to speak. If you were deaf and dumb, especially in the culture of the Bible, what a handicap. Not only could you not communicate, you could not be communicated to. You say, well, if I knew somebody was deaf, I'd use sign language. They didn't have it. If I knew somebody was deaf, I'd grab a pad of paper and write something. They didn't have pads of paper. If somebody was deaf, well, they could read the newspaper. They had no newspapers. Well, they could use a computer. They had no computers. To be deaf and dumb was to be isolated, shut off in a world of your own from the community of men. You couldn't hear the word of God preached in the synagogue. Amen. You see, we can talk about this man's physical need, and that's important. But so many people feel like that Mark, though the others didn't, Mark included this miracle because this miracle isn't just about a man's physical need of being unable to hear, but this man's physical condition of being unable to hear is mirrored by so many's spiritual condition. There are so many who spiritually cannot hear. They cannot hear the voice of God. They cannot hear. They are spiritually deaf and dumb. Amen. In Scripture, we know this is the case. In John chapter 8, Jesus asked, why do you not understand my speech? And he gave the answer, even because you cannot hear my word. Now, I want to tell you, Scripture differentiates here, and we must. There's a difference of cannot hear and will not hear. Some folks will not hear, and others cannot hear. It's a real spiritual condition. In John chapter 6, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? In Matthew 13, Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Acts, in the preaching, first found in the prophet, also quoted by Jesus and here by the preacher in Acts. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Listen, the truth of the matter is so many are spiritually deaf. There's two reasons. Number one, there is an enemy of our soul. The thing he desires to do is to dull your spiritual hearing, to do something in your heart and mind where you cannot hear spiritual truth. The second truth is this: if you do not want to hear, if you desire not to hear the truth, God will help you out not to hear. If you don't want to hear, he'll allow your ears to be dull. Amen. I've seen it so much as a preacher. I can tell God's talking to folks. I can tell his word is coming forth with power. It's pointed. And yet I've seen the very folks that word is addressed to sit there a oblivious to the fact that God is speaking to them. God is talking to them. How can they sit there oblivious? It's because their spiritual ears are deaf. It's not just in the church. America is a country whose ears have become stopped. They will not hear. They do not want to hear the truth. And at the same time, they listen to and they hear every lie. They hear every deception. They hear every falsehood. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a horrible fact. Amen. One of the things that I have seen, here's a young person, and it didn't have to be young, but somebody, even raised in church all of their life, from primaries, little flannel graph stories. They've heard and heard and heard the story of Jesus and how he came for them and died for them. They've heard the preaching. They've heard it at youth camp. They've heard it from the pulpit. And yet, when they're able to make a decision, amen, instead of making a decision for Christ, they make a decision against Christ. They walk out of the doors of the church, from the family of God, live in this world, and end up living out ever deception, ever entrapment, ever ensnarement, living with every bondage and ever. Why? How could they do that? Did they not hear? The answer is, that is correct. Amen. The sound went forth. The word of God went forth. But they did not hear. I'm telling you, physical deafness is a problem, but spiritual deafness is a greater problem. There ought to be something in our hearts that begins this way. Oh God, I've got to hear the word of God. Open my ears so that I can hear. Open the ears of the congregation so they can hear. Open the ears of the backslider so they can hear. Open the ears of our nation that they might hear the truth of the living God. And I'll tell you what will happen in Jesus' words. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. If you're hearing, I'm talking about beyond my voice. If you're hearing the word of God this morning, right now, you're blessed. You're in far better condition than somebody that may have a good job and this and this and that, but they're sitting here this morning, their mind tuned out, 1,000 million miles from God, and it's just a bunch of yada, yada, yada to their physical ears. Oh, but if you're hearing, if so, anyone has felt that, I'm not talking about this man, I'm talking about far beyond. Have you felt that in the preaching? Has something stirred in your soul? Blessed are you, for your ears, they hear. They're not dull. There's a time they will not endure sound doctrine, heaping unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. Amen. It's not a time to have your ears scratched. It's time to have your ears opened. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord is here. What is the usual probable response? Verse 32, and they bring this man unto him, and they beseech him to put his hand upon them. I tried to think of what our response would be. And I think, and I'm not against this. This is great for churches and different ones that's able to do this. But our response to the deaf man is, we got a special section for you, and we've got an interpreter for you. Amen. We want you to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and tell him Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen. This is what we do. Go ahead, Brother Brian, if you can. Amen. Hope we don't have to pay your rate just to have you as an illustration in a sermon. Hallelujah. Amen. This is our response. And I'm not saying it's bad. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying this morning? Amen. This is okay. This is good to be sensitive to that need. Oh, but that wasn't their response. Hallelujah. It wasn't just to get him an interpreter. It's heal those ears. Glory to God. How many realizes we don't have to live with ever handicap, physical and spiritual? We don't have to live with ever malady and ever disease. There is a healer. There is a Savior. Instead of just coping, instead of just handicapping along, there is a healer. Hallelujah. Oh, more than an interpreter. Bring me the one that can open the ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can do it till you get tired. I'm not quite through yet or to that point. Just whenever you want to quit, you can keep on or quit. Amen. Amen. That's the usual response. I'll tell you another thing. Amen. Here's our response. This man's got multiple problems. You really do. Hallelujah. I mean, he's got a problem with his ears. He's got a problem with his tongue. I mean, he's got multiple problems. I mean, let's just be honest. Amen. When folks, when we find out they've got multiple problems, it drains our faith in a hurry. And if you don't believe people's got multiple problems, ask them. They got a grocery list. If you got the time, ask them. Amen. When folks have multiple problems, it drains our faith. He had multiple problems. You talk to somebody, there's trouble with their house. There's trouble with the car. There's trouble with the family. There's trouble with the work. There's trouble with their body. But I've came to the conclusion, if God can forgive one sin of many people, He can forgive many sins of one person. If God can heal many people of different diseases, He can heal one person of many diseases. Oh, hallelujah. Is anything too hard? You may have multiple problems. I said, you may have multiple problems this morning, but we serve a God who is able to heal. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to me with all seriousness. Something has been brought to my attention, and I know it's true, and I don't know how to say it, but it needs to be said. And it's simply this. In our time and our culture, even songs like we sung this morning, nobody can touch you like Jesus. In our culture and our time, even that brings up horrible images of abuse and molestation to people's mind. This imagery of touch and being touched, it's a horrible thing. Our society has succeeded, as it has in so many cases, of taking something that is powerfully expressed, something that is pure, and making it vile and ugly and wicked. Our society has become so depraved, so degraded, that an expression as simple as Jesus will touch you takes on a whole different connotation. And this is hard to preach about, but it's true. You might have been in church all your life and know what it means to sing, "He touched me, He touched me." But we bring in folks, amen, when they hear, "He touched me," something inside them curls, something withdraws, something is repulsed. It's the world that we live in. I read a recent study this week that one out of four wives and girlfriends have been abused, physically abused, beaten by their man. One in four wives and girlfriends in the demographics of our society. One in three girls have been sexually molested before the age of eight. And one in six boys have been sexually molested before the age eight. Roughly 20% of the children have been sexually molested before the age of 8 years old. A touch is a horrible thing to them. Teenage girls are taught by our society that it's acceptable for men to handle and to abuse him. So it is understandable in our times and cultures. And by the way, this 20%, they're on our vehicles when we transport them in. Make no mistake about it. And I would hate to admit, but it's not just folks that have been transported in. Amen. This is a problem. I said it is a problem of our society. What a detestable thing. And so I want to preach this morning, there is an inappropriate human touch. I said there is an inappropriate human touch. There is the touch that's abusive. There is the touch that violates. And hear me, no child, no woman should ever have to endure that kind of touch. And if that is something you're experiencing, I want to encourage you, get help, not just church help, get legal help, have it stopped. Amen. And we sing, "He touched me," and they think of the inappropriate human touch. Let me tell you something about the inappropriate human touch. touch. That touch not only touched the body, it touched the mind, and it touched the soul, and it touched the deepest, innermost person. That's why it's so defiling and harmful and hurting. And so I concede there is an inappropriate human touch. But could I also preach something the world needs to hear? There is an appropriate touch. There is a good human touch. There is a touch that doesn't hurt. There's a touch that helps. There's a touch of the friend upon your shoulder when your heart's heavy, when you're discouraged, and a friend touches you and says, I'm behind you, I'm for you, I love you. There's an appropriate touch. There's the touch of the mother on the brow of her child that has fever. The mother's touch says, I love you and I'll lay down my life for you. There is the touch of the doctor who seeks to find what is wrong. There's the touch of the nurse that dresses and bandages the wound. There's the touch of tender affection of a husband for his wife. There's the touch of love of a mother and father for their child. And there is the touch of God Almighty for His creation. There's the touch of the Savior. There's the touch of the Deliverer. There's the touch of the Healer. Oh, hallelujah. That is an appropriate touch. There is the touch of the great physician who heals not just physical ills, but He heals the soul. He heals the mind. Oh, what a touch. Yes, we can sing it. He touched me. Touch me, and all the joy that floods my soul. There is the touch, amen, that turns the life around. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you help me just stand up and start walking away? What are you going to do if you're walking that direction and all of a sudden you feel that? What will you do? You turn around and look. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has that kind of touch. Walking on your way to destruction. Walking on your way to ruin. Oh, but there's a touch that'll touch your soul and turn your life around. There's a touch of the Savior that reaches down His hand. Way down. I said He reaches down His hand. He'll pick you up out of the pit. He'll pull you. Aren't you glad for that touch? Oh, there's a touch of the potter. The vessel's been ruined. The vessel's been abused. The vessel's been... Oh, but there's a touch of the potter that picks up the broken vessel and makes it anew. Oh, hallelujah. There's a touch of God that'll give you life. How many's glad there's an appropriate touch? Thank you, brother. I don't know where you're at. You'll be good for work tomorrow. What's the response to those in this man's life? Saw that they needed to get him to Jesus. How many knows that's still the answer? Get to Jesus. Get folks to Jesus. And they believed, as the scripture said, if they could get him there, if Jesus would put his hand on him, he would be healed. Why were they thinking that? Jesus, put your hand on him, he'll be... Because they knew that Jesus had it in him to meet that man's need. And they believe if Jesus had it in him to meet that man's need, if they could get Jesus to put his hands on him, what Jesus had would go to the man. What was in Jesus would go to the man. That's what it is about his touch. You see, they recognize two things. Number one is contact. Amen. A lot of people call in, my computer won't work. Is it plugged in? Well, no, it's not. I'm telling you, there has to be contact. How many remembers the day when Jesus made contact? He laid his hand upon you. But it's not just contact, it's transfer. When you make the contact, you've got a path. You've got a channel for a transfer. That's what they were asking. Jesus, put your hand on him. Make contact so that which is in you can get in the man. I'm telling you, that's what we need this morning. We need to say, Lord, put your hand on me. It's all through scripture. The Lord put his hand on Ezekiel. The Lord put his hand on that one. I'm telling you, that's a picture that God knows how to make contact to our soul. And he's able to transfer from him. Himself to us what we need. What was the Jesus response? Verse 33. And Jesus took him aside from the multitude. That's the first thing Jesus did. I promise I won't get gross. I won't actually do it. I'll just mime it. But the first thing Jesus did, said, "Interpreter, sit down. I'll take it from here." Hallelujah. And he took the man away from the congregation. I got to make it so you can see, though. Hallelujah. He took him away. Just stand right there like that. He took him away. I know I got to hurry, but I also got to tell you some truth. You say, no, wait about it. Wait a bit about this. We've already had miracles where Jesus called the people right up in front of everybody. Remember that? Man with the withered hand, come up front. The woman that was bowed down, come up front. Now Jesus, instead of calling the man up in front of everybody, he gets him away from the multitude. We could try to figure that out, but it's this simple to me. Jesus knows what each individual needs. And Jesus will do what each individual needs to meet that need. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's that kind of Savior? But I want to tell you, there's also this truth. Maybe the man was painfully aware of his handicaps. He knew everybody was looking at him. Amen. And so Jesus, sensitive to that, got him away from the others. Perhaps it's that the man knew, or Jesus knew that the man would be distracted if everybody was watching him. And so Jesus got him away from the crowd so he wouldn't be distracted. Amen. So I want to preach this. Would you hear me just a few more minutes? I want to preach this. Sometimes, if Jesus could just get you away from the crowd you're running with, he'd be able to help you. If he could get you out of that old depressed crowd, he could encourage you. If he could get you out of the worldly crowd, he could change your heart and purify you. I've seen folks, God trying to talk to them, they never heard a word. They're sitting with the wrong bunch. I know some people can sit further back and still get in. You know if you can or not. But if you're sitting further back and you're not getting a word of the sermon, you're not able to worship, it's time to let Jesus lead you away from the crowd. Set you up on the front pew. Get you away from that which is distracting you. I've seen folks I'm convinced that are probably in hell today. I've preached to young people. I remember one time preaching to a whole back row of backslidden boys. And I preached, I saw one of them. God began to touch his heart and deal with him. And every time the Spirit would convict him, one of his buddies would poke him in the ribs and tell a joke and laugh at him. I won't tell you the rest of the story for the time, but I just want you to know I was thinking that day, that night, if I could just get him away from his buddies, God would change his life right now. I'm telling you, I said sometimes if you feel the Holy Spirit coming to you, I said you feel the Holy Spirit coming to you and get you by the hand, get you away from the crowd, get you away from the people you're running with, get you to an altar, hallelujah, amen, just let him get you away. I'll tell you one thing, if you feel Jesus tugging at your heart, he's going to bring you to a place you can experience his deliverance, his healing, his power. Oh, let him get you away from that group. I believe that was some of it. Verse 33, he took him aside and put fingers in his ears. He spat and touched his tongue, looked up to heaven and sighed. Amen. Did you ask why did Jesus touch him as he did? Why did he put his fingers in his ears? Why did he touch his tongue? Why did he spit? Is it showmanship antics? Is it like a magician waving his hands? Is it Jesus just doing something strange to do something strange? You say, why would you say that? Because a lot of preachers, I think, do that. They just do strange things for the novelty of it. Just because they're a strange. Jesus never did anything strange that there wasn't absolutely a purpose for it. And so there has to be a purpose for this. And I think the clue is in what? I've already told you. They had no form, set form of sign language. You know what Jesus was doing? It wasn't antics. He was simply communicating to the man in language the man could understand. Let me tell you something how it went. Could you turn sideways? You don't have to look at him. I know it's scary, but just look right here. That man, Jesus, as another man, if he talked, the man's not going to hear him. So what Jesus says, he said, I'm going to show you both what your problem is and what I'm going to do. I know your problem. Your problem's so he showed him his problem. And then he showed him what he's going to do about it. I'm going to open them. And he said, I also know what your problem is. It's your
It's your tongue. And first of all, he spat.
Because did you catch that? The man had an impediment. There was something physically wrong with the structure in his mouth. And so Jesus spat. He was saying to that man, just like I have spat, you're about to spit that impediment out. And then Jesus took that spit to say, it's going to come from me. And he touched his tongue to say, not only is there a problem with your tongue, but I'm going to loose that tongue. And Jesus sighed, because that was a sign of prayer to that culture. And he was saying to the man, I'm going to pray for you. And Jesus looked up so there'd be no doubt to the man from where that help was going to come. And then Jesus said, Ephphatha, be open. Now you'd say the man's still deaf until the words have an effect, not with Jesus. I believe the same command to open his ears, the man heard, be open. How many believes in the power of Christ? I want you to think of what I'm talking about. Why did Jesus do all this? He was speaking the language the man understood. And when he said Ephphatha, that was Aramaic. That was the language of the time of the home. That was the native language, not Greek, not Latin. It was the language of the home. He was speaking the man's language. I want to tell you, God knows how to speak the language of every sinner. He knows how to speak the language of every hurting soul. He knows how to speak your language. Let me just put it this way. God knows how to communicate with us. If we will only hear, if we'll only let our ears be open, God knows. You say, my lost loved ones are so lost, they won't listen to me or nobody else. I want to tell you, God knows how to speak their language. Hallelujah. I don't preach for tomorrow necessarily or somebody that's not here. And I like to say spiritually now, spiritually, you haven't been hearing, you haven't been listening. I want to tell you, if you let Jesus this morning, hallelujah, he'd do this to your spiritual ears. Hallelujah. You haven't spoken the genuine praises of God for months and months. You haven't prayed a real repentant prayer in weeks and weeks. I'm telling you, he'll set your tongue free. You'll be saying, I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord. You'll be saying, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. He'll open your ears. He'll open your mouth. Oh, hallelujah. He'll open your heart. I'm telling you, that's the Jesus response. What's the result of Jesus' response? Verse 35. We know it has to be. Straightway, his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not making fun. I know there's a difference between healing, which can be incremental, and a miracle, which is complete and instantaneously. But I'm tired of folks farming off as miracles. And they say, now you're able to talk. Now you're able to talk. Oh, it's getting better. It's getting better. You're able to walk. They fall over. You're able to walk. I'm telling you, if it's really God, amen, if it's really a miracle, amen, there won't be any incremental stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not saying God won't ever do things in two stages. I know that. But I'm telling you, you won't leave scratching your head and say, did they really get healed or not? It'll never be that way. When it's God, there'll be no doubt in your mind. There'll be no doubt in your mind that they're healed. How many believes in a healer this morning? Oh, hallelujah. His ears were open. He began to speak plain. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you, on this man, listen to this. On this man, everything Jesus touched was helped and healed. Did you get that? Everything on that man that Jesus touched was helped and healed. It's still that way. Everything that Jesus touches will be helped and healed. Would you let Jesus put his finger on what's wrong in your life this morning? Would you do it? I'm about done. Would you do it? Would you let Jesus put his finger on what hurts? Would you let Jesus touch you where it troubles you? Amen. Not only will he identify it, he will heal it. Verse 36, and he charged them to tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. No kidding. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. If God healed man, let's say he really was deaf and dumb, and God healed him this morning, he began to shout, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I said, Ryan, if you can hear me, amen, say, thank you, Jesus. And he says, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Before we got off the parking lot, you'd be making, it'd be on Facebooks before we got out the door. Oh, why did Jesus say, keep it quiet? Two reasons, I believe. Number one, he's got a plan. It's not time for him to go to the cross. And if the people start proclaiming him king, amen, here comes the Romans, and they're going to try to kill him before the time. Number two, and it's always been this way, Jesus didn't want people to come to him simply to have physical needs met, because the overarching reason Jesus has come is not to meet the physical need, but to meet the spiritual need. Now, I want to tell you something. This man, when he's still deaf, if we can somehow communicate to him and he can believe on Jesus Christ, he can go to heaven even though he's deaf. He can go to heaven even though he can't talk. Amen. But he can be made healed. He can hear and talk and still go to hell. I'm telling you, the biggest need we have is not physical. It's not financial. It's not to have a bigger house, a fancier car, and greater self-esteem. Our greatest need is a Savior. Our greatest need is somebody to pull us out of the pit and set our feet on a rock. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In verse 37, the people beyond measure were astonished, saying, listen to this, he hath done all things well, because he maketh the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I don't think the people realize what they just did, but let me tell you what they did. How many remembers in creation when God made everything? What did God say after everything he made? He said, it is good. Literally, it is well. Everything he made, isn't that right? And now the people watched Jesus heal this deaf man, and they said, he hath done all things well. Jesus said, be open. The people said, it is good. It is well. Oh, they may not have realized it, but what they were doing was recognizing that Jesus was the original creator. I want to tell you something. He originally created these bodies. If he originally created these bodies, he could heal these bodies. He knows how they're designed. Not only does he know how your body's designed, he knows about your mind. He knows how your mind works. He knows about your emotions. And most importantly, he knows about the spirit of man. And I'm telling you, if he originally created it, he can set it right. He can repair it. He can make it anew. No kidding. How many could just say with that crowd, he hath done all things well. Let's worship him as the music comes. Would you let him pinpoint what's wrong? Would you let him help you? I'm telling you, somebody is in worse shape than the man in the story, because everything that was wrong with that man physically is that wrong with you spiritually. You're not listening. You're not hearing. God wants to open your ears this morning. I'll tell you this, and I'll quit. Some time back, listen, I can't pay everybody for illustrations, but a few weeks back, we was having trouble with our refrigerator, and went completely out, and good refrigerator, you know, that's kind of costly. They don't just give them away, and I was frustrated. I tried different things and different tests and tried to trace down the problem, and I was working on it. And just about conceded, we're just going to have to go buy a new one. And I was working on it, and Brother Tim Kaser came over for something else. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to trace down what's wrong with this. Well, he knows far more about that kind of electronics and stuff, so he said, I'll help you. Well, he traced it to the motherboard. Yes, that's right. Your refrigerator now has a motherboard like a computer. And even then, you know, like so many of us, I said, well, I'll just go buy a new one. He said, wait a minute, let's go ahead and take it out if you're going to do that anyway and look at it. And I took it out and handed it to him. And he turned it over and he did just like this. He turned over the back. He said, right here's your problem. One little contact had burnt through the solder. He said, right there's your problem. He said, you got a soldering gun? I said, yeah. And I went and got my soldering tools and solder. And I've soldered lots of things, you know. And I got it all warmed up. And I was standing there by it. And he said, are you going to solder it? And I said, no, I'm going to let you solder it. And I'll tell you how I was thinking. If you were able to pinpoint out what was wrong, you're the one that turned the soldering gun over to fix what's wrong. And I want to tell you, it may make you uncomfortable when Jesus puts his finger on it in your life. But I'm telling you, the best attitude in the world is, Lord, if you were able to put your finger on it, you take the soldering gun and you fix it. Would you stand and worship him this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a time for honesty. Listen to me. I know, take honesty, but are you here this morning? You'd say, I really haven't been hearing from God. Messages are preached. I really don't hear it. It's not really touching me. I'm not even going to comment on what might be the reason. It could be anything from sin to hurt and bitterness. But you just admit, your spiritual ears have been closed. You've not been listening to God. You've not been hearing His voice. You've not been hearing. Would you just begin to come right now? Just be real honest and God will help you this morning. Amen. Will you just be honest? I haven't been hearing. Are there others that like to come? I haven't been hearing. My spiritual ears, they're dull. I mean, I heard the sound, but I didn't let it into my heart. Are there others you'd like to come? Amen. That's open. Keep coming. But let me ask you this. I didn't get up here and preach on things. Did anyone hear me preach on things? Did you hear me name anything? Did you hear it? But even though I didn't, during the preaching, because God was here and His presence was here, during the preaching, listen to me, during the preaching, Jesus put His finger on something that's a trouble in your heart. If you're here, I want you to be real honest. If you're here in any time in this service, maybe it was in the worship, but Jesus has put His finger on what's wrong in your life, what your need is. I want you to begin to come right now, just in a minute. Say, He's put His finger on my need this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. I know with the Spirit moving as He's moved. Amen. That would be several of you. You just say, the Lord's put His finger on something in my life. Remember what I said? Everything He touched was healed. Everything He touched was helped. He never identifies the problem that He's not willing and able to help with the problem. Is there someone else? You just come and say, Jesus put His finger on something in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. There's others. How many like to join? Just be real honest before Him. Amen. If you want to think about it this way, He's getting you out of the crowd this morning. Just like He led the deaf man out of the crowd. He's leading you out of the crowd to talk to you personally. Amen. Just be honest. He put His finger on something in my life. I want Him to touch me. Oh, that's it. Would you feel the altar? Amen. Come and help these pray this morning. Would you? Would you come and help these pray? If you're here and you don't know Christ, I know there's ill treatment by this world, but His touch is different. His help is different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's get help in this place. Jesus puts His finger on it to help you. Amen. Are you hearing me even right now? Even right now, do you hear the Word of God? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Do you hear what the Lord is talking to you about? Let Him open up your ears. Let Him talk to you. Let Him help you. Call out to Him. Call out to Him, church. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, call out to Him. Come on. Listen to me. If He puts His finger on it, it's to help you. It's to heal you. He knows exactly what the problem is. He knows exactly what the need is. You know He's put His finger on your need. It's to help you. He can change it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's it. That's it. Call out to the Lord. Call out to Jesus. Come on. The Lord's talking to you.
Suffer so much pain for a world that cruelly
If you know God's trying to talk to you, but you're not hearing, cry out, God, open my ears. God, open my ears. I want to hear. Lord, you've never put your finger on any need that you didn't also help.
Kissed away the pain. There's hurt you can't explain.